I want to take a moment to welcome all the children here today. This is our family worship Sunday. We do this every fifth Sunday of the year. Normally, our kids are in the Calvary Kids Ministries. We have everything from nursery to fifth grade. So if you're visiting with us today, we don't do this every week, but we do like to have our kids experience worship, kind of get familiar with what we do in here and give families a chance to worship together. So we do this every fifth Sunday. So kids, if you're in here, welcome. We're glad you're here. Hope you've enjoyed worshiping with us, and I hope you're ready to hear a little bit from God's Word this morning. So last week, we had the privilege of hearing from our mission team from South Dakota and just kind of listening to what all God did and how He moved and how He's building things year to year. It's just very encouraging, and I hope it was encouraging, but I hope it was also challenging to you to say, what am I doing? How am I sharing my faith? How is God stretching me? How is God using me within the context that I live every day, but is He pushing me beyond that? Am I being stretched? Am I getting out of my comfort zone? So as I listened to testimony after testimony, you know, it really just encouraged me, and I want to challenge you and to make sure that we all are sharing the good news of the gospel, amen? Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to be disciple makers. We're called to tell the story of how Jesus Christ has changed our life. Now, let me ask you just a simple question this morning. Has Jesus Christ changed your life?
Yes.
Who are you telling about it?
Everybody,
good. What about the rest of you? Who are you telling about it? You see, that's what we are commanded to do, is to be witnesses. And that's what we're going to look at today as we continue our journey through the book of Acts. We're getting Acts chapter 22 today. And we're basically going to, again, look at the Apostle Paul. And we've been tracking his story for the past several weeks and how he's been trying to get to Jerusalem. And now he's finally there. And we knew that things were going to happen. We knew that he was most likely going to face imprisonment. We most likely knew that he was going to be beaten. And we've already seen those two things happen already, but we know God has a greater purpose. God has a greater plan for everything that happens to us, and we've always got to be ready for the opportunities that God gives us, right? No matter where we are, what we're doing, we know that God is sovereign. We know He puts the right people at the right place at the right time, regardless of whether we think it's the right situation, right? So we're always in the right place at the right time, and Paul realized that, so he made the most of every opportunity that he had, and that's what we're going to talk about today is as we look in Acts chapter 22, basically what we're going to talk about is sharing your story. We've been called to take the good news of the gospel to the nations, and one of the best ways that you and I can do that is by incorporating what he's done for us. How do we tell our story? How has Jesus changed us? And that's what we're going to talk about today is just to give you a couple simple things that you need to remember, hopefully some encouragement to you, so that just like the mission team to South Dakota, just like the one going to Malawi, just like the one going to Nicaragua, we want to be able to share our story. But not only on a mission trip, right? In our families, at our schools, at our jobs, in our communities, we want to be able to share the story of how Jesus Christ has changed our life. At least, I hope you do. Amen? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about sharing our story. We're going to finish up Acts chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 36. And then we're going to move right into Acts chapter 22, actually verse 37. And we're going to see how Paul shared his story and incorporated the good news of the gospel in it. So here's what it says. Acts chapter 21, we're going to read verse 37 through 40. And then we're going to talk about how to share our story. Remember, he was there. He had gone into the temple to try to, you know, he got out of what he thought he had to do. He didn't have to be in the temple, but he went. He kind of gave up some of his freedoms to kind of build a bridge over which to share Christ. Things turned bad. They started beating him. The Romans came in, separated everything, kind of took Paul captive. And this is kind of where we're at, continuing the story. It says, as Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul says, "I am a Jew from Tarsus of Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." So again, Paul was taking the opportunity, even though he was bound, even though he was pretty much under arrest, he still was looking for ways to share the good news. He says, I beg you, let me speak. Permit me to speak to the people. And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. When there was a great hush, he addressed them in Hebrew, saying. So we're going to see this morning that Paul took advantage of the opportunities. Even if it didn't seem like the right opportunity, even didn't seem like the perfect conditions, Paul took advantage of every opportunity that he had. So while he was under arrest, while he was bound in chains, he was willing to share with the very people who were trying to kill him. Do we have that kind of heart for the gospel? Are we willing to share with the very people who oppose us? Paul was. He was very willing. And I think we can learn a very practical lesson here. And I want you to write this down. This is not on your outline, but I think we can see a very practical lesson that you and I need to apply when we come to thinking about sharing our story. And that is this. We must never, ever wait for the perfect opportunity to share the gospel. You know why? Because that's nothing more than an excuse most of the time that we make. We got an opportunity right here before us, and we think, wait a minute, I'm going to wait till I know this person a little bit better. I'm going to wait till the situations are a little bit different. Maybe next time that God puts me in this situation, I'll take advantage of it. Maybe I'll know more then. Maybe I don't know enough to say what is. Maybe I'll get something wrong. There's an opportunity because we're always what? The right people, the right place, at the right time. But in many of our minds, we think there's always going to be a better opportunity. We wait for the perfect time. But let me tell you something. In that way of thinking, there is no perfect time. That never comes. What we need to realize is every moment that we are living, every moment we are breathing, every opportunity we have with someone else is, in God's timing, the perfect time, right? Every opportunity. But too many of us want to wait until we know more, or wait until we're more comfortable, or wait until the conditions are a little bit nicer. Maybe and I'm all for building relationships, but too many times we can use that as an excuse. Well, I don't know them quite enough. I'm not comfortable enough. You know, maybe the sun is too hot. Maybe it's too cold. Maybe it's raining. Whatever the situation is, maybe I'll get in trouble. You know, we keep making up these reasons, and, you know, when the time is right, I'll share. When there's a better opportunity, I'll share. But here's what I want you to see in the first thing that is on your outline. When God gives you the opportunity to be a witness, seize it. Seize it. Take it. Remember, you're always the right person at the right place at the right time. There are no mistakes in the kingdom of God. Too many of us want to put off tomorrow what we need to be doing right now. Do you hear me? Can I get a witness? Can I get an amen? Right? There's always a better time. There's always a better place. No, there's not. Today is the best time. Right here is the best place. Because you know why? None of us, and this counts for everybody, I don't care how old you are this morning, none of us is guaranteed that we'll even be here tomorrow. Right? Tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us. The only thing that we can seize and take advantage of are the opportunities God gives us right now. Right now. So when God gives us an opportunity, we've got to seize it. So Paul was in chains. Paul had just been beaten. He was now a prisoner. But yet he begged for an opportunity at that moment to share the story of Jesus and his own story. He realized that he may not get that opportunity again, so he wanted to make the most of it. While this crowd who was calling for his death, who were trying to kill him, he still wanted to take an opportunity and share the good news with them. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about seizing the opportunities God gives us. Let's talk about sharing our story. And you see on your outline, before we jump into the heart of the matter this morning, I want to give you four key factors that must be present in your life if you're going to truly be able to seize these opportunities that God gives you and use them to share the good news about Jesus. Number one, and we've talked about these throughout this series on Acts, so a lot of this is just going to be review, but I want you to have just this concise list, because these things have to be prevalent in your life if you're going to take advantage of the opportunities God gives you to share the good news. Number one, you must be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Again, you can't change anybody's mind about Jesus Christ. You can't draw anyone to Jesus Christ. You can't convict anybody of their sin. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, right? And if you are tuned in with the Holy Spirit of God, then wherever you are, He's going to be leading you to step, to stop, to speak, to not speak. The Holy Spirit is your GPS, so to speak. He's your guidance system, right? If you are tuned into Him, He's going to show you those opportunities. He's going to show you what's in front of your face, and He's going to empower you to seize them. But we have got to be sensitive to His leading. Now, how do we get sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading? Well, we've got to be in the Word, right? We've got to be in fellowship with God. We've got to be walking in the Spirit. That means living in the Spirit. We can't be indulging the flesh. We've got to be indulging the Spirit. We've got to be growing so that we can hear Him. So you've got to be sensitive. That means you've got to have a growing, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ so that you're always keyed in to what He's telling you to do. So if you want to make the most of your opportunities, you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, this is one of the ways we get there, is you've got to be prayed up. You've got to be powered up. We've got to be in communion with God. We've got to be asking Him for help. We've got to be asking Him to open our eyes to see these opportunities. Listen, you can't share your story effectively if you're not communicating with God regularly. Amen? We have got to be people on our knees begging for God's help, begging for God's strength, begging that He'll show us these situations every moment of our lives. And if we're keyed into God like that, if we're prayed up, we're powered up, and we're ready, do you think God's going to use us? Absolutely. And He's going to show us those opportunities. So when you wake up in the morning and you're having your morning prayers, one thing you must always pray is, oh God, help me to see the opportunities that You give me today to share my story. And then pray, God, give me the courage and the boldness to open my mouth. Be prayed up, because through the prayer comes the power. As we rely on His help, He empowers us to do His work. Number three, you must be prepared. You got to know the gospel as it is described in God's Word. If you're going to share it, you better know it, right? On our Wednesday night Bible study, we're going through 2 Peter. And 2 Peter is a study, basically Peter's warning the church of the false teachers that are coming. And his major premise in that book is to know the truth. You've got to know the truth so that when you hear something that's wrong, you can identify it and refute it. But you can't do that unless you know the truth. The same thing applies here. We can't share the good news of the gospel unless we what? Know it. So we've got to know the gospel. We've got to know what it says. We've got to know the message of the gospel, because that's the only way people are going to get saved. Not by my personal experience, but when I take the gospel, weave it into my story, that's powerful. But it's not about my story, it's about His story. So you've got to know the Word of God. You've got to know the gospel. You've got to know that mankind is sinful. You've got to know that Jesus is the only way. And that's the message we've got to be willing to share. So you've got to be prepared. And finally, as we're talking about today, and this is where we're going to focus our time today, is you must be able to share your story. Share your story. So if you want to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you, you want to use them to see other people come to know Christ, you've got to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. You've got to be prayed up. You've got to be prepared. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to know the gospel. And you must be able to share your story. Now, I want to make one little reference to this list. Although we're going to focus on number four today, because we're going to see that here, Paul shared his story. Number three is far more important than number four. I just want you to hear that. I've probably been guilty in the past of teaching something like this, that people can argue the Bible with you, but they can't argue your story. And in ways that's true, but in ways I think that line of thinking is dangerous, because it's God's Word that saves. And they can argue it, yes, but we got to make sure that that's the central part of our message, not what He did for us, although that's important. But again, as I said, when you mix the two, you've got something special. When you take what the Word of God says about who you are, what Jesus did for you and how your life changes, and then you weave your story into that, you've got a powerful thing. People can't argue with what Jesus has done for you. But let us not downplay the power of the Word of God
in the saving process, right? So again, number three is the most important thing because it's God's word that is the power of salvation, right? Not your word, not my word, God's word. But when we can take that and share our story with that, man, God's going to use you in a mighty way. Everybody clear on that? So I never want to elevate your personal experience and raise it higher than this because it's not, folks. It's this that gives us the experience with Jesus, right? So we got to know this. So you can tell your story, but if your story doesn't include this, you're missing the power, you're missing the effectiveness, because only the Word of God is going to save anyone. Not the Word of Scott, the Word of God. So you've got to know that. But those are four things that you need to know and key factors that must be present in your life if you're going to be able to share your story. Now let's talk about sharing our story. Let's talk about what needs to be a part of the message we share. When we go to tell somebody the story of how Jesus changed us, there's basically three things that you should always share. This is how you share your testimony, these three things that we're going to talk about today. In order to effectively share your story, you must discuss three things. Number one, on your outline, you've got to talk about your life before Jesus. You got to talk about your life before your encounter with Jesus Christ. That helps us to identify with the lost, because you know what? At one time, we all were lost too. And we want to build common ground with those we're talking to. We want to be able to relate to them and say, hey, you know what? I was right where you were. Let me tell you about my life before I met Jesus. And that's exactly what Paul does in chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Let's read about it. Paul is talking about his life before Jesus Christ as he's effectively sharing the good news of the gospel. Here's what it says. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that now I make before you. And when they had heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. Again, immediately he connected with them. He connected with them. He spoke in their language because he was a Jew. But he found common ground. When you're witnessing to somebody, look for ways to connect. Look for ways to connect. Find something that you can talk about that you can connect with them. Hey, if they like sports, try to have a connection there. If they like fishing, try to have a connection there. If you're on the job, try to have some kind of connection that you can build a bridge with. Build that relationship. And look for ways to share your story that can connect with theirs. So when they heard Paul speaking in Hebrew, they listened. He made a connection with them. Listen to what he says. They became more quiet, and he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I was just like you. I was as zealous for God as you were. I was a Jew of Jews. I was taught by the most revered rabbi in the land. I understand where you are. I understand what you believe about God because I shared those beliefs and I was more zealous probably than any of you, is what he's saying. He's connecting with them. He's sharing what his life was. I was right where you were, is what he is saying. Zealous for God as all of you are this day. Number four, I persecuted this way to the death. Talking about Christianity, the way of the Lord. That's what Christians were called before they were called Christians, is the way. We were part of the way. That's from Jesus' own words, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he says, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take also those who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. So Paul is sharing his life before Jesus. He says, I can relate to you where you were. I was zealous for God too. I just had it wrong. I was trying to please God in my own way. I was trying to do good. I thought I was on track to the point I was willing to kill people who believed in Jesus Christ. And I was willing to go and get them and bind them, men and women, and to take and have them tortured, put in prison, and possibly killed. I was right there with you before Jesus. I can relate to where you are. Listen, if we're going to effectively share how Jesus has changed our lives, we've got to share how our lives were with people before we knew Jesus, right? Got to connect with them. Here's how Paul describes all of our lives before Jesus. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." I love what Judy said earlier. We're taking dead children and making them alive. Because before Jesus Christ, all of us were dead in our sin. Hopeless, helpless. In the sins in which you once walked. That means how you lived. Your life was full of sin before Jesus Christ. That dominated your life. That's what your identity was. You were a dead man or dead woman walking. Following the course of this world. Following the prince of the power of the air. That is now at work in the sons of disobedience. He said, remember where you came from. The world you're trying to reach, you were one of them at one time. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. Before Jesus Christ, what dominated your life, the flesh or the spirit? The flesh. We all once lived in the passions of our flesh. That means we only looked to please ourselves. If it felt good, we did it, right? We were about number one. I don't care what God wanted for me. I was living for myself. So I can relate to where you are. I thought I was pleasing God. I thought I was a good person. But ultimately, I wasn't living for Him. I was living for me. And you know what? I didn't really have much peace. I didn't really have a purpose. But I was looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places and all the wrong things. Just like every one of us who was at one time lost did. We all got a common bond. We all were lost before Jesus Christ. Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And here's another thing we all have in common before Christ. We are by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We've got something in common with every lost person because we once were lost, right? We lived for our flesh. We carried out the desires and the passions of the body. Now, your story may be different than mine's story. But here's where we've got to think, okay, how was my life before Jesus? How did that play out in my life? What was I in search of? How did I try to meet those things? How did I try to find purpose? And then you share. You know, before Christ, before I had an encounter with Jesus, I was all about making money. I thought I could find purpose in that. Or maybe it was, you know, alcohol and drugs. That's what was trying to give me that purpose or give me that contentment that I was so looking. Or maybe it was relationships. You know, you remember your life and how this played out and you share it. You share it. But because poor people can see us saved, they need to see us lost. We need to connect with them and relate to them and share how our life was before Jesus Christ. And we were all under God's wrath like the rest of mankind. So as you're trying to seize the opportunities God gives you, you're trying to share the good news of the gospel, share how your life was. Paul gives us a great way to do it. He connected with them, and then he shared how his life was, to the point he was killing Christians. So lay out your story for those you're trying to witness to. Make connections. You know, your lack of peace, your lack of purpose, your selfishness, trying to find satisfaction in all the wrong places, thinking you can earn God's favor by being good. All these things are true of all of us, but how can we verbalize them personally to relate to others? Are you with me on that? How was your life? What characterized your life before Jesus Christ? Think about it and be able to share it. I know we don't like going to the past, but you know what? This is where we get to show how Romans 8:28 is alive. That God works all things to the good, right? Even our past mistakes, when we're believers, God can use them for His glory. Another way to connect. I heard a pastor once say, your greatest mistake can be your greatest ministry. The thing you regret most out of life, God can use that to help other people. But you know what? We've got to be willing to share. We've got to be willing to relate and connect and admit that we're not all of that, right? We never have been, right? We're all saved by the grace of God. We can relate to lost people because we were lost, but we've got to share our story. So that's the first thing Paul does, is share his life before Jesus. Secondly, number two, when you're trying to make the most of the opportunities God gives you, you've got to share your encounter with Jesus. How did you come to understand that He was who He said He was? How did he reveal himself to you? How did he save you? So you painted a picture of how you used to be. You've connected with them. But now we're going to shift gears a little bit and say, but I'm not that way anymore. Something life-changing happened to me. And let me tell you about it. Let's see how Paul talks about that in 22, verse 6 through 16. Here's what he says. Remember, he left off. I'm going towards Damascus to round up Christians to have them executed. But then we see something life-changing happen, as he talked about in Acts 9, but here he relays the story again as he's sharing the good news. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go to Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour, I received my sight and I saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise, be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on His name. Do we see a life-changing encounter with Jesus in Paul's life right here? He described his life before Jesus, and then bam! In the middle of his life, in the middle of doing all the things that he thought was pleasing to God, in the middle of really just satisfying himself and building his own ego up, Jesus met him right where he was. Jesus met him, opened his eyes, and saved him. Paul shared his encounter with Jesus with the people who were listening. And you know what? We can share our encounter too, amen. There was a time when we all came to the understanding that we were hopelessly lost and in need of a Savior. Romans 3:23 again gives us a universal connection. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When Paul was blinded by a light, that light was none other than the glory of God, showing him how far he had fallen short. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. That's a universal connection, right? That we can make with everyone. We were all dead in our sin. God revealed himself, Ephesians 2:5, and made us alive. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Is that the hope of the gospel or what? Paul believed in Jesus, and we know it forever changed his life. So how did God reveal himself to you? It was quite dramatic for Paul. Right in the middle of his everyday routine, God showed up. How did God show up to you? Do you remember? Was it reading your Bible? Was it at church? Was it with your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather? What about a coworker? What about a friend? Maybe you were reading a gospel tract. Maybe you were watching TV. Maybe you were at a movie. I don't know how God revealed himself to you, but if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, at some point, he opened your eyes. Remember how it happened and share it. Share it. Paul shared the exact moment that Jesus opened his eyes and forever changed him. What clued you in? What made you realize that God is real? How did God show himself to be true? How did you realize the error of where you were, that you were dead in your sin, that you were a sinner and you needed forgiveness, that the wages of sin is death? How did that click with you? How did God open your eyes? And then how did he save you? Does everybody remember that? Do you remember how God saved you? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember the occurrence? Do you remember what happened? Now, some of us, it may have been a lightning bolt like we see here. For some of us, it could have been a gradual recognition. You know, I think that's the way as you raise your kids to understand God's Word and who He is from a very early age, it becomes kind of a natural progression. But again, at some point, there's a change, right? And we all have to come to this realization that He's my God. He's my Savior. I need Him. Do you remember how it happened in your life? Do you remember? Do you remember how God saved you? Share it. Share it. Tell your story. You've already connected with where they are. Now you're telling them the hope that they can have. Because if God could save you, He can save them. Share your story. How God revealed Himself to you. When did you understand that He was real? And John 3:16 was for you. You believed. God opened your eyes and you embraced Him. I got to make a quick note here so that nobody's confused about what verse 16 says. Again, anytime we see scripture verses that seem a little confusing at first, we've got to understand that the best way to interpret God's Word is what? With God's Word. Now we know that we're saved by faith and not what? Works, right? Let's read this again. And now, what do you want? Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. Now, at first glance, you may see, wow. And I've had conversations like this. People have sat in my office to get baptized, and I say, why do you want to get baptized? And they say, because I want my sins to be washed away. Wrong answer, right? Does that baptism water save anybody? Is this scripture saying it does? We know that's a truth, right? We're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, not by works. Baptism would be a work if it saved us. So we know that can't be true. So we got to try to dig and say, well, what is it saying? And basically, when you dig, because one verse has to correlate with the rest of Scripture. So many heresies have been built by pulling one verse out of the hat, right, and building a theology around that. You can't do that. It's got to match. So if we know we're not saved by works, this can't be saying that when you're baptized, your sins get washed away. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that washes our sins away. But in this particular verse, when it says, why do you wait? Rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. The phrase, wash away your sins, is connected with the calling on His name in the Greek. So when you call on His name, whose name? Jesus. That's what washes away your sin. That's what saves you, right? Not being baptized. Baptism is a symbol, a picture of that. It's a public demonstration. Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on His name. That's the key. Calling on the name of Jesus, crying out to the name of Jesus, surrendering yourself to Jesus. That's what saves you. Everybody understand that? Sometimes things are worded a little bit differently when you take it from the Greek to the English. But again, if you see a scripture that seems to be contradicting other scriptures, then you got to do your homework, right? Say, I know Scripture doesn't teach that we're saved by faith, not by works. Not by works. Works come after, so that can't be saying that. Just wanted to make sure everybody was clear on that before we move forward. It's Jesus that saves us, not anything that you and I can do. And here's a few Scripture verses again that Paul writes that tells us that. Romans 10, 9 through 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, right? Confessing, believing. There's no works. You're not jumping through any hoops. You don't have to be good enough. Again, when you were lost, you thought you were pleasing God. Paul thought he was pleasing God by killing Christians. That was works. But it's just acknowledging that He is real. Repenting of our sin. Believing that He is who He said He is that saves us. For with the heart one believes and is justified. Not with the feet or the hands, with the heart. By faith. And with the mouth you confess. Verse 13 of that same chapter. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. You can't be good enough, folks. You can't do enough good to earn God's favor. What is God's standard for all of us if that was the case? Perfection, right? We can't make it. But Jesus did. He made a way for us. All we've got to do is cry out and say yes. So Paul shares his story of how the truth was revealed to him, how Jesus revealed Himself to him, and how he called out on His name and got saved. How did He save you? How did He reveal Himself to you? How did you call out to him. Share it. Share it. Thirdly, if you want to share your story effectively, not only must you share your life before Jesus, your encounter with Jesus, but here's where the rubber meets the road. Share your life after Jesus. How did your life change? Did he make a difference? Is there a noticeable difference in your life now that you know Jesus Christ? Is there a noticeable difference in your life now that you know Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know how to share that? You already shared how your life was before him. You shared your encounter with him. Now tell them how it changed. Let's see how Paul does it, then I'll give you some practical things for our own. Paul basically shares how he went from being a persecutor to a proclaimer. Look what he says in verse 17 through 21. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, "Make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me." Now he's back in Jerusalem saying the same thing, and they're still not accepting it. But he says, "And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in the synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, 'Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" So Paul's still struggling with what he did. He says, "Those people know what I did." And we know his heart's always been to get back to Jerusalem and share with his people that he loves. But God says, "My mission for you is to go to the Gentiles." And we've talked about that chapter after chapter after chapter. Do you see a life in Paul that was forever changed by Jesus? Paul tells about God's calling for him to go to the Gentiles. That's not what the people wanted to hear, but that's what God did. He forever changed Paul's life. He went from a persecutor to a proclaimer. A persecutor of the gospel to a proclaimer of the gospel. He went from beating others to being beat himself. Not caring about his life anymore. Not caring about what mattered to him. It was all about Jesus Christ. And telling everybody he could about the good news of the gospel. We see a life forever changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. The old has passed away." You know what that means? It's dead. It's dead. "Behold, the new has come. You are born again." So everything Paul said about who he was, that man, Saul, is dead. He's not a persecutor of the church anymore. He's a proclaimer. The greatest proclaimer the church has probably ever had. He's not dead in his sin anymore. He's alive. He's not trying to please God by his works. He's trying to serve God with his hands. He's not trying to earn God's favor. He's already got that. He's not trying to bring glory to himself and extend the ranks. He's now trying to bring glory to God. He says, "My only mission in life is to finish the race God set before me, testifying to the gospel of this Jesus that I tried to wipe out." Do you see a life changed? Do you see a new creation? He bore witness to the fact that Jesus changed him. "I used to be the one that would round up Christians, round up people to be killed because they followed this Jesus. Now I'm going into all the world telling them about this Jesus that they need to follow." His life bore witness to the fact that Jesus truly changed him. Does yours? Does yours? Has Jesus completely changed you? Are you different? Can you share the difference? Think about everything your life was before Jesus. Think about how Jesus saved you. And now I need you to reach back and say, how have those things changed now? Maybe you didn't have peace. Has Jesus given you peace? Maybe you didn't have a purpose. You were going from thing to thing trying to find contentment. Well, boom, guess what? Jesus gave it to you. Now you have a purpose. You understand why you exist, to bring glory to God, not myself. Maybe you were selfish and you were all about pleasing the flesh, pleasing the flesh, pleasing the flesh. Now you understand that it's not about pleasing the flesh. It's about denying the flesh and walking in the Spirit and bringing glory to God. Can you share how your life changed? I used to find contentment in all the wrong places. I was trying to find contentment. I was trying to find peace, and I was selfish. Now I realize I was just lying to myself. I was in bondage. Now I'm free. Now I'm serving God. Now I have a peace that the world can't take away. Now I have a purpose, and that's pleasing God. Do you see a change in your life, and can you share it? Can you share it? Because if you're going to effectively share your story, your life before Jesus, your encounter with Jesus, and then your life after Jesus. All the time sharing some of these scriptures that I shared with you today. That you say, now I'm a new creation. The old me's dead. I'm not judged anymore. I'm forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That man was condemned. This man is God's child. Share your story. Share how He changed you. Share the fruit that you see in your life. That's not bragging on yourself. You know who that's bragging on? Jesus. Because without Him, you ain't nothing. Nothing happening in your life can happen without Him. So when you're talking about the change, brag it up. But say, look what God did for me. The old man brags on himself. The new man brags on Jesus. And that's okay to brag there, right? Bring Him glory. That's what we were created to do. So when you look at Paul's speech to these very people that were trying to kill him, you see a man who seized the opportunity that God gave him. Realizing he was the right person at the right place at the right time with the right heart. And he shared what his life was before and he connected with them. I was just like you. But look what Jesus did for me. And look how it changed me. And it can happen to you as well. But here's the thing you've got to remember as you share your story. As you share the good news of the gospel. All, as it says on your outline, all that we're called to do is share. The results are not up to us. That's the blank on your outline. The results are not up to us. That's freeing, isn't it? I can't make any of you believe that Jesus is real. All I can do is what I'm commanded to do. Share the gospel. Share my story. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why I want to be sensitive to Him. Because He may be working on you, and then He puts me in your path, and He says, now's the time, share. Or He may be still working on you and He says, no, not yet with them. I'm still working, share here. You got to be sensitive because it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people of their sin, draw them to Jesus, not ours. The results are not in our hands. God's not going to judge you in heaven to say, okay, let me see your little flip pad of how many people you saved because of your witness. Because really, if that was it, you'd have to look and say zero. But He may ask you, how many people did you share? Let me see the list of those you shared with. We can't save anybody. That's God's. That's His work from start to end. It's His work. He gives us the privilege of being a part of it, though. And Paul understood that. Paul seized every opportunity. But again, so I say that to say this. When you share the gospel, probably more times than not, people aren't going to fall on their knees and say, yes! I wish it happened. It will happen. But a lot of times people are going to say, well, that's good for you. That doesn't work for me. You're crazy to believe that nonsense. But again, you've shared the truth. Can God do something with it? Maybe you're the seed planter. Maybe you're the waterer. Sometimes you'll get to harvest. But again, all you got to do is share. Look what happened to Paul. He shared his story with the people he loved. He related to them. He shared about Jesus. He shared about his life change. And look what happens. And when he had said these things, wait, I went back a page. Verse 22, go back to verse 21. And he said to me, Jesus said to Paul, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. He says, that's my new mission now, to tell everybody about the gospel. And they say, we don't want to hear that. Look at their response. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. Paul's in chains. They just beat him, and he's sharing how they can have a relationship with Jesus. He related, I was right where you were, but look what God did for me, and he can do it for you. They said, away with him. We don't want to hear it. Was Paul a failure? Absolutely not. I hope at some point some of those folks laid their head down at night, God revealed to them the truth, and they said yes. But again, the results aren't up to us. Paul was faithful. And they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air. The tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. So Paul was going to get persecuted because he was telling them the way to have true life. From the man who used to do the persecuting, now he's about to get persecuted again because he was sharing the message of the gospel with these folks. And the guy was trying to figure out, why are they doing this? One reason, they're blinded. They're blinded. The enemy has blinded them. The ways of the world has blinded them. The gospel is but foolishness to a lost man until God opens their eyes, right? We know that. Going to flog him. Worst form of torture ever. You can look it up. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" Does that mean Paul wasn't willing to suffer for Jesus? No, but he wasn't stupid. Right? He didn't suffer for no reason. He was willing to lay down his life, but there was a reason here that he didn't have to go through this. Is that bad that he wanted to take it? No, absolutely not, because there was other things he needed to do. So he found a way out by God's grace. Again, we see the sovereignty of God here. Verse 26, when the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." It was illegal to flog a Roman citizen without a trial and without a sentence. They hadn't had either. So the tribune came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes." And the tribune answered, "I brought this citizenship for a large sum." Paul said, "But I'm a citizen by birth." So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately. And the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. Uh-oh. Not even supposed to do that. What I want to see in those few verses is that God is sovereign. God had the tribune come in at the right time when Paul was about to be beat to death last chapter. Now he was about to be severely beaten. God reveals to him, says, "Say this." He says it, and he's freed from another beating. God's at work here because God still had a plan and a purpose for Paul. Even now he's going to be a prisoner the rest of his life. God still has a purpose. Remember, where did Paul ultimately want to go? Where was he striving to be? Rome. He was in Jerusalem to deliver the money that he had collected for all the churches, but it was just a stopping point. He wanted to go to Rome. I'll give you a quick fast forward. God lets him get there, but not the way he wanted, or maybe not the way he thought. But again, God's sovereignty is here the whole time. So you be faithful to share. Leave the results up to God. And whether we live or die, it's all to God's glory. Amen. So I hope that as a church, we can be a people who share our story. Take every opportunity God gives you. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Be prayed up. Ask for open eyes. Ask for the power. Ask for the courage. Be prepared. Know the gospel. Know how to weave it into your testimony. Know how to share key verses about everyone being sinned, calling on the name of the Lord. John 3:16, talk about it's by faith, not works, but how you're a new creation. Know the gospel, know how to share it, but then also be willing and able to share your story, your life before Jesus. Connect with those you're talking to, how Jesus saved you, and then share so in a way that they can say, "Oh, I need that, how he's changed you, your life after Jesus." All the while, remembering the results aren't up to you. They're all up to God. The only thing we're responsible for is being His witnesses. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful today for Your Word. God, we're grateful that You use people like us to share the good news of the gospel. But God, even before that, we are grateful that at one time we were dead in our sin. We were hopeless. We were helpless. We had no real sense of peace. We had no real sense of purpose. We were looking for all that in the wrong place, and we never could truly find it. We were condemned. We were under your judgment. We were under your wrath. We were dead. And then you intervened. You sent your Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin, to open our eyes. Lord, you took us from being dead. You made us alive. We heard the good news of the gospel. We believed by faith, and we got saved. The old man died right then and there, and we became born again, new creations in Christ. No longer under your judgment, now your children. No longer without peace, now we've got a peace that surpasses all understanding. No longer without purpose, now we have a purpose to accomplish your will for us, to bring you glory. God, now we have a home in heaven forever with you. Now we have the ability to do work for you on this earth. God, we have a ability to bear lasting fruit, be your witnesses, to make disciples. God, today, remind us of our story. Remind us of where we were. Remind us of what you did. And remind us of how you've changed us. And God, just like Paul, give us the opportunities to share. And God, whether it's the perfect time, whether it's an opportune time, whether it's an inconvenient time, God, may we seize them, everyone. Let us be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. God, let us be prayed up. Let us be prepared. And God, let us share. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There may be some here that God brought you here for a reason today. And it was part one of the story. Because you're still in life without Jesus. But let me tell you something. God puts the right people at the right place at the right time. And that's you this morning. If you're here and you don't have peace, you don't have a purpose, you think that just by being a good person, you're honoring God. Maybe today God opened your eyes and said, that's not enough. That's not enough. You're a sinner. You're under my judgment. You're under my wrath, but there is hope. The same hope Paul had, the same hope I have, and that's Jesus. So I have no doubt that God brought you here today, if that's you, for you to say yes to Jesus. You don't have to change your life right now. You don't have to jump through the hoops. You just got to say yes. You got to say, I believe. I don't know how I believe. I don't know what I'm feeling. I'm feeling this stirring in my heart. I'm uncomfortable. I'm getting nervous. That's the Holy Spirit of God working on you, drawing you to Him, opening your eyes, and now you're seeing. All you've got to do is throw your hands up and say yes. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. Today can be the day of your salvation. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day of salvation because we're not promised tomorrow. Listen, if that's you this morning and God is opening your eyes, just say yes. Just say yes. Come down, grab me by the hand, grab Marcus by the hand. If you want somebody to help you, we'll pray with you. But really, there's not a quote prayer that you need to pray. It's just saying yes. Saying, God, I'm sorry for living life the way I wanted for me. I want to live it for you. There's no sinner's prayer in the Bible. It's just believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, and you will be saved. If that's you, don't wait. Come down, bow at this altar, grab me by the hand. For others, maybe God's asking you today to remember what He did for you. Look at your life. Are you bearing fruit? Maybe it's a call to repentance for some of us to say, hey, we're not bearing the fruit we need. He saved us. That old man's dead, yet we're trying to breathe back life into him. We're living more in the flesh than the spirit. God says, no, I need you in the spirit because there's work to do. If that's you, come pray. And maybe you're just grateful today that God chose to save you, that He opened your eyes, and now He wants you to be a witness for Him. Maybe you just need to come and say, thank you, God. Give me courage. Give me boldness because I know I've been an ineffective witness. Help me be like Paul, that realize there's not a perfect time other than the time I have right this moment. I don't know how God's going to move in any of your life, but here's the only thing I ask you to do is be sensitive to it. And whatever He asks, just say yes. Let's stand together.